obeys the calling. The calling is without repentance. Don't think that means that if he calls you, he can't give the call to another person. No, no. You don't exist. You can do yourself a favor just to align with him so that you can exist. The ever existent and all existent and self-sufficient and self-sustaining God is the one that exists. You are living on the privilege of the breath of life.
So I just wanted to clear that out. Oh, somebody said, you're making us look small. No, you are small. That's what I'm saying. You are small. All right? Now, so this guy decided to constitute the journey party. And then he still brought Lot into the equation. And guess what happened? While he went claiming that it was the call of God that he was fulfilling, he raised an altar unto the Lord, and the Lord appeared unto him. The guy was in disobedience. Okay, let me not trouble you. Let's just go and do the introduction. Hey, the fact that you had an encounter is not proof that God will use you. The guy was in disobedience, and when he erected an altar, the Lord appeared unto him. But you see, God has a right to, he's the father of all spirits, so he can appear to any spirit. He's a God of all flesh, so he can also visit any flesh. We should be able to put the visitations of God in proper perspective. Lest we think that it is an endorsement for disobedience, because that's what Abraham thought. It was an endorsement for it. So God is no longer too bothered about the fact that I did not follow the instructions through. So that's what that visitation meant. His doubts will be cleared many years later when the delicate balance of his peace was going to be shifted because of the prosperity of Lot. And the reason for which Lot prospered was not about Lot. Lot was tapping from a fountain that God had decided to make a channel. You see, the idea of the call of Abraham was the covenant of Abraham is a channel. You see, you know, we have the covenant of Moses, we have the covenant of David, we have the covenant of Noah, we have the covenant of Abraham, we have the covenant of Jesus. Those are the five covenants that are in the Bible, and only one of these five covenants is old. The remaining four are still active till tomorrow. Only one is old, out of five. There are two words with which you can use to explain the whole Bible. One is covenant. Second word, the kingdom. Those are the key letters that can form the basis of the thread of understanding of the counsel of God in the scriptures. Hallelujah. In the covenant that God cut with Abraham, the essence of the covenant was that God had pedestaled Abraham to be the channel of blessing. If you have ever raised kids before, and you have something to share, maybe sweet biscuit, and then you will notice that when the children know the location of the biscuit, they will have a tendency of migrating there many more times than you intended. So, you now set up a channel. So if you want biscuit, go to your mom. Then you just realize that the children won't be visiting you again, because they will migrate towards the channel of blessing. Now, God decided to make Abraham, the channel of blessings. For in the covenant he had with Abraham, it was captured that in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Whether you like it or not, it is already sealed that Abraham is going to be the source. And that's why his name had to change. The source, A-B, that A-B in his name means means source, the source for the nations. So if the nations are going to find the things that God is handing out to them, they will find it through Abraham. And that proclamation that God made was already working in the life of Lot. Lot was connected to Abraham, and Abraham was kind of a source point for blessings. So because of that, Lot began to prosper. He prospered so much that he almost thought that material things equal blessing, just like the church of our day. He doesn't know that it is blessing that produces material things. He thought material things equal blessing. Because in terms of material things, he had as much material things as Abraham had. So by estimation, he must have said, well, right now we are really on the same level. And the problem is not between me and you, it's between our headsmen. And it was when his doubts were cleared when they separated. Then he now found out that material things can deplete in 3 weeks. Your account can be hacked and your status will change. But if you don't have source, AB, you are still an endangered species. So it was Lot that Abraham allowed into the ecosystem that was responsible for the delay. The father was responsible for 50 years. He was responsible for 24 years. And when he became 99 years, God now brought the issues of the original calling into view. Now, you see, when you're working with God, you have to be very meticulous. Like I said, he will help you waste your time. If you are not diligent to work, church is not sport. It's not fun. What we are doing here is destiny. And if you know the estimation of how many, if human beings want to spend, they spend money. But if God wants to spend, he spends men. May you not be spent in Haran. Because there's no record for all your navigation within that territory. It didn't strike any chord in heaven. Wasted 50 years that have no meaning. Hallelujah. So now you understand why it took 99 years. And God, as loving as he is, when it comes to the establishment of his counsel, there is no room for compromise. And that's why many times I will go, if God says something, I say, I heard you, but can you say it again? I will ask him like 3 times. So that I will be sure that this thing is God that said it. I will even ask him to bring someone else to confirm it. And he is not offended. Because he knows that you are beginning to know him. That if he speaks a thing, he will never change his mind. He's an oracle. He doesn't withdraw his utterance. He can think about something and withdraw it. But if it has already become an utterance, he will follow it through to the end. Are you with me? Have you seen people that were anointed once upon a time and now it's stories that they tell? Have you seen that before? So why do you think that scripture, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, actually have to do with men? Men are variable. It's only God's counsel that is constant. And if he wants a prophet from your family, he'll get one. But we don't know the generation. So it's a privilege for you to line up with God. And when you do, line up in such a way that you don't need encouragement from people. It's a project between you and God. You set your heart to achieve it. Most of us follow God probably because you are expecting someone to be there to cushion the effect. You don't understand destiny. And the God of the Bible let me leave that. Let's go back to, before your heart breaks, because some people are already sober. My calling is to reveal God. That's my calling. And how to make it easy for you to know how to walk with him and the kind of person that he is, so that you can engage him. If you know these things, your walk with God will be very seamless. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, which is the emphasis for the morning, and when Abram was 90 years and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abram, said unto him, I am the El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 2. It is when you have mastered the El Shaddai dimension and you are walking with him in the light of that revelation, and you have perfected how to walk with him in the light of that revelation, that's when he opens the possibility for you to know him as Jehovah. Because he said, when you have perfected El Shaddai, I will make my covenant. The covenant dimension is the Jehovah dimension. It's not going to open up that dimension to you if you have not yet perfected your walk before him in the light of El Shaddai. Of the above, we want to find out what El Shaddai is. Then you will be the judge of your own life if your walk before him in the light of that truth has become perfect. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
You see, sometimes when God speaks, sometimes he makes people happy. Excited. Some other times when he speaks, especially when this kind of a day when he's revealing himself, the object, the emotion cannot be excitement. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I didn't figure that Abraham was saying hallelujah on a day like this, that God decided to come reveal himself to him. And what we are studying are testimonies. No man could have done this. This unveiling that God is doing here, no man has the capacity to do this. So God had to do it by himself. He says, I am the El Shaddai. What El Shaddai means is I am the strong, I am the multi-breasted, I am the ever-existing, I'm the all-sufficient. Now, when we say multi-breasted, it means that I have so many breasts, I can sustain you. I can support your existence from one of my breasts. I'm the strong one. You see, Abraham, given that he came from a priesthood family, and the name of the God of the all of the Chaldees was Sin, S-I-N. Yes, that was the name of their God. And Abraham was active in priesthood until that voice came onto his head. Abraham was God's first attempt at establishing redemption, because it was in the heart of idolatry that God called him out. There was nothing that he did to warrant that calling. Great men had existed before Abraham, but it was like Noah, like Enoch, they had existed before Abraham, but there was nothing that God did with them that was in view of redemption. So redemption began with Abraham, and he found his fullness in Jesus Christ. It's on the strength of redemption that Jesus is called the Son of Abraham. Are you with me? Now, let's look at this matter more critically. He says, I am the strong and the multi-breasted. Why is God introducing himself this way? Very simple, very easy. By the time we go into the New Testament, we have additional information. And part of the information that we have in the New Testament is how that God revealed that he created us with limitations, created you insufficient. Because according to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, okay, give me Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's where I'm going. The word infirmities. So it means that you were created with infirmities, with weaknesses, with insufficiencies. You were created not capable. And it doesn't matter how much of education you have acquired. When you are faced with a situation that is orchestrated from the realm of the Spirit, your insufficiency will be evident. So knowing that man was created insufficient, and I want to announce to you that the devil is also aware of that. This is what he does. This is what Satan does. Please help me tell your neighbor, as wonderful as you are looking this Sunday morning, you are insufficient. Looking so wonderful, so calculated and well kept, but you are insufficient. Unfortunately. Now, this is what the devil does when he brings pressure over your life. Such pressure that you don't have the capacity to prosecute, to deal with. And let's look, what common pressures do we have in Ghana? If it's Nigeria, I would know what to say. Okay, let's imagine that the pressure on your life is accommodation, house rent. You're finding it so difficult to get what is required to fund your rental. All right? So, when that, let's assume that this is house rent. Exactly. Okay. This is the problem. This is house rent. Okay. So when the house rent issue comes and Satan realizes that you don't have the money to pay, there's something, it's a small spirit called anxiety. This is anxiety. It's a small spirit. Okay. Satan releases this spirit to come into your space. What anxiety does is that anxiety shows you a clear picture of all the terrible things that will happen to you because you don't have house rent. It is anxiety that will give you the picture of the fact that you'll be thrown out in rainy season with your television. And the moment you are out, then and your small child. And then the moment they cast you, thrust you out, it will begin to rain and you'll be in the rain. Helpless. It's anxiety that will paint that picture. And the reason why the devil does that, uses the tool of anxiety to haunt your soul, is so that you will be brought to a place of surrender without a battle. Satan knows you were created insufficient. And he's going to exploit that knowledge forever. Are you still there? So, the Lord now presents himself and says, I am the El Shaddai. I am the strong. I am the multi-breasted one. I am the ever-sustaining, self-sustaining God. You need to walk with me in the light of this insight until you become perfect. You know what he's selling to Abraham here? He said, you can trust me. I will overwhelm all of your insufficiencies. And the legacy of God's identity as El Shaddai, it took 3 generations to entrench it as an operating system in the house of Israel.
Abraham violated the deity of all of the Chaldees in order to obey God. And the first symptom that befell him was that his young, beautiful wife became barren. So since God was presenting himself as the El Shaddai, the major issue in Abraham's life for which he will need a strong one to intervene is the issue of the barrenness of his wife. Evelyn? Because this solution is a solution that will come from a realm that is beyond the natural, because he knows the God of that territory is a vicious fertility spirit. All right. So he begins to walk with God. Meanwhile, the challenge here is walk thou before me and be thou perfect. When you attain perfection, it will mean that I will be your sufficiency. You are insufficient. I will be your sufficiency. Just like that scripture reveals that it is the Spirit that helps our infirmities. The arrangement in the New Testament is that the Spirit of God is put in place as the agency that swallows up all of your insufficiency. That means God has only one way of solving your problem. Holy Ghost. All of your problems. You will begin to do yourself a great disservice when you don't know him. You don't know the Holy Ghost. You want to prosper? The formula is one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's the formula for prosperity. There is no way you can prosper according to the scriptures and not know how God leads people. It means it's computer prosperity you are doing. Prosperity that has no foundation, that has figures without foundation. And a wild wind will blow all of a sudden and it will swallow it up. So God presents himself to Abraham. The challenge is not about my capacity, it's not about my ability. The challenge right now is about your trust in what I can offer. And you are going to have to become perfect in the light of this revelation before I extend a covenant to you. All right. As you all know, the challenge, major challenge around him, because he was doing quite well in terms of having the resources and the wherewithal to take care of his family. So his challenge was not poverty. His challenge was he wanted a son. And in that need of his, God was going to use that need to become a platform to show him how El Shaddai solves that problem. The way El Shaddai solves the problem is the way he dealt with Abraham. How many of you have checked? Okay. Technical man, give me Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. Because this lecture I want to delve into. I want everybody to follow me. This is Isaiah chapter 51. And the heart of Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 and 2, presents Abraham as a pattern man. And what I mean by a pattern man is that God dealt with Abraham the way he intends to deal with anyone that is following him by faith. So Abraham is a pattern. If you want to know your life, you want to understand where you are, the message of Abraham is actually a map. It's not a message. You can trace your current location if you look at the life of Abraham. Because in Isaiah chapter 51, the Bible says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord." It says, "Look unto the rock from where you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from whence you were digged." Say, look at your foundation. Look at next verse.
look at unto Abraham. So that metaphor that was used, or those metaphors used in verse 1, talking about look at the quarry site from when you were hewn, look at the whole of the pit from whence you came from, was actually referring to Abraham as your foundation. He said, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare thee, I called him alone and blessed him, and what? Increased him. So this is supposed to be the outcome of your walk with Jehovah El Shaddai. The outcome, if you actually find El Shaddai, this El Shaddai that I'm introducing to you now, if you interface with El Shaddai accurately, what this is supposed to be your outcome. You are supposed to end up being blessed, and you are supposed to end up not just being blessed, and you are stagnated on one plateau of blessing, but you are blessed and you can increase. Oh, they say, oh, you are the one that is not intelligent in the family. Everybody made a first class. See what you have brought. You know what? Look unto Abraham and decide to submerge your life into the pattern that Abraham's life revealed. In the days to come, your family will look to you for deliverance. Because you would have been able to achieve the status of being blessed visibly, and also you will have capacity to compete with your last results. You see, the Bible says they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. So me competing with Pastor Ben now has no basis, because the parameters are different. But you are supposed to be in competition with yourself. Because where you are now is not the best that God can do. There is still possibility of increase. So you are supposed to be in desperate competition with your last status in God. Because God is endless. And if you know that, there is nothing that you have found that is the totality of, that is the best that God can do. So this is the blueprint of the result of El Shaddai. So, you see, the Bible is wonderful. You can look into the past through the Bible, and you can look into the future. So, this is how Abraham ended up. This is the summary of the El Shaddai dimension. He was blessed, and he had the capacity to increase in that status. Okay, so, given the above. I didn't know I'm taking all this time. Jesus Christ. How did the El Shaddai begin to solve the problem of Sarah's barrenness? Because Abraham is not the only prototype that we're going to look at. In order for us to understand the El Shaddai, there were three generations that captured the El Shaddai adequately: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the case of Abraham, it was barrenness that he was calling the El Shaddai to help him with. In the case of Isaac, it was famine. And in the case of Jacob, it was poverty. Because he ran from home. The only furniture that he ran with was his staff. Oh, you're not with me. We'll stop there. Since you're not with me, we'll only do Abraham. Then you go and you study Isaac and Jacob. The El Shaddai was working with Isaac. And Isaac, because of the drought that had entered into the terrain, he wanted to follow his father's disobedience. He was contemplating escaping to Egypt for survival. Meanwhile, in all of Abraham's journeys, it was when he entered Egypt he had to lie, because he had wandered out of alignment, wandered out of the regions of the grace of God. So he needed his natural fleshly instincts as protection. He has lost the covering of God because he had veered out of instruction. So Isaac wanted to take off to Egypt again because his father had shown that example, but he never knew that his father showed that example in error. So God had to visit him that night. After the visitation, the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in that land. He sowed in drought. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold, and the Philistines envied him. It was the El Shaddai that was at work. Well, we won't have time for Isaac because, but if we study their lives, I'm opening it up so that you can have your own time to study. If you study their lives, you see the same principle. In the case of Abraham's barrenness, it started in the book of Genesis chapter 18. But it's a long study, but I'll give you a summary. In Genesis chapter 18, God decided to visit his covenant partner. And he came in the company of two angels. He pretended as if he was not visiting Abraham, as if he was just passing. And Abraham, who had a culture of hospitality, was able to bring God home. Made banku for him. Made kontombre for him. You see, you just laughed. But you see, what you didn't see there is that God ate human food. Now, God doesn't do anything for nothing. Why did he eat human food? He would have rejected it. Okay. Let me leave you. I need to tell you something quickly, which you will not believe until I show you the scriptures to back it up. In heaven, there's food. See, how many of you still remember Jesus when he rose from the dead with glorified body and he ate fish? He ate man's food so that man can learn how to eat his own food. Because at the end of the book, in the book of Revelation chapter 2 verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears me and opens the door, I will come in and eat his food so that he can learn how to eat my food. That was why he ate that food. Oh, wow. We'll leave that. There are 12 civilizations in heaven from the limitations of my Bible study. The place my eyes saw, I saw 12 pillars of the civilization of heaven. One of them is food. How many of you still remember that when the children of Israel were coming out of the land of Egypt, it was from heaven's menu that they fed them with a substance that's called manna? That's not the name of that thing, you know, but that was the name the people gave it. And what manna means is, what is this? Because they were not used to it. What is this? That's the meaning of manna. So, but that's not the original name. Oh. Well, I know you don't. You don't believe me. Okay, since you don't believe me, turn your Bible to the book of Psalms. Let me just digress a little. Because once upon a time, when I come to Ghana, then we begin to talk about the civilization of heaven. How that God intended that we can operate heaven's civilization on earth. Yes, we can operate that because our nationality is of heaven. Our country is heaven. So we are just ambassadors here and we are supposed to be operating according to heaven on earth. That is what it means to be an ambassador. Well, Psalm 78, just to clear your doubts quickly. from verse 22 to 25. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Next verse, please. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven. If I finish reading it, can you please go to the next one? And had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them what? So in heaven, there is corn. It was the corn of heaven. Oh, yeah, it's funny to you. It's funny to you, so I can't bring the substance out of the reason why I'm going this part. He rained the corn of heaven. Next verse. Man did eat angels' food. So the corn of heaven is angels' food. So did it occur to you that angels actually eat? Or it didn't occur to you? You think they just... And he sent them meat to the food. So the corn of heaven. So what happened to human beings when they ate the food of angels? Has it occurred to you? Have you thought about it before? Okay, when human beings ate the food of angels, they didn't need to change their clothes. Their clothes grew on their body. They didn't need to change their shoes. Last year, you were size 39, as they were. They're moving the 40-year journey. Then I noticed, I'm 42 now. They didn't visit boutiques. It was because of what they ate. Let me leave you there. I'll leave you there. I'll leave you there. At least you have seen what I'm trying to say. So God ate man's food so that man can learn how to eat God's food. You still have a problem. I know you're trying to. Okay, how many of you still remember Elijah? He was running away from Jezebel, and he ran and slept under a juniper tree, and an angel came and woke him up and gave him bread. Huh? You still remember that? That was the first time God was feeding a man that had not walked. To rise and eat. The first time he wasn't even told why he was given food. He ate and slept back with sorrow. The angel came again with another dose and woke him up again and said, "Rise and eat." That was when the angel revealed that it was not his hunger he was feeding him for. Given to the angel, you can hunger and die. But we are not feeding you to quench your hunger. We are feeding you because of the journey. It's a rise and heat for the journey. It's about the journey, not about your hunger. When I come for that lecture, then we'll bring those things out. Then you'll see that you'll be living like a human being. Oh my God. The Lord will help us. All right. Just to clear your doubt, that's why I had to do that. So, when God visited with Abraham, he ate with him. And then he gave a word to him concerning his wife. Meanwhile, in order for Abraham to receive that visitation, he had to have the heart of hospitality and generosity. If not, he would have missed that window. The window was not obvious. When God visits you, it's not as if it's obvious that he's coming to visit you. Many times he will pretend as if he intends to pass by and say, "Hey, how you doing?" It will be something that is part of your lifestyle that you will use to get him into your world. If you begin to grow in God, part of the evidences is that you will start becoming more generous. Now, if that is not the case in your life, if you are not becoming more generous, you are not growing in God. I can show you scriptures to back what I'm saying now. Part of the proof is that the works of your generosity will begin to, it's a proof that Christ is being formed in you. That's the nature of the Christ that is inside of you. Many times I have given some people stuff and they thank me, they say I'm a good man. I say, you don't understand it. It is the one in me that is good. It's the one in me that prompted me to give you. Don't be confused and think I'm good. The one inside is the one that is good. So if Christ is formed, it means that you are putting aside yourself and you are allowing him to manifest. Part of his manifestation is generosity. Are you there? So it is those things that have become your lifestyle based on the dealings of God that will occasion the entrapment that will trap God so that a transaction can take place. So they invited God in and God ate. After God finished eating, not before, he ate first. He now said, where is your wife? This happened to Abraham after 99. Now, listen. God spoke to Abraham first. He gave him a promise that according to the time of life, your wife Sarah, she will give birth. Meanwhile, the same Abraham, after this encounter he had, it is still the wife that went to Abraham and suggested to him that, you know, I'm old. This maid has been good. Let it not be that I became your shame and I was the one that closed up the genealogy of this great gene that you have in you. So she gave him an idea. Meanwhile, if you check the discussion and the way it was, God, Abraham monopolized God for 12 hours. After 12 hours, the next thing Abraham did after monopolizing God was that he disbelieved God. You know, the contract is, walk thou before me and be thou. So God had invested time to show Abraham the lines of his commitment in his life and destiny. But unfortunately for Abraham, he had not yet learned how to trust God. So when the wife came and brought a suggestion, and the wife did not spend up to 2 hours, God spent 12 hours. The wife didn't spend up to 2 hours. He went with the wife. He was not yet perfect in that revelation. So now, it's no longer God that will determine how long it will take at this stage. It is how long it will take Abraham to become what? For many of us sitting here, it is the time limit is not in God's hands. The time limit for the miracle that you are looking for is tied to that point at which you become perfect in relating with a God that is all-sufficient when it is obvious that you are insufficient. So the outcome of that intercourse should produce total submission, total trust that he has the capacity and he is willing to take care of my insufficiencies and to support my existence. Abraham produced Ishmael. In order to clear Abraham's doubt, God showed up again and said, yeah, I'm seeing a boy running around in your compound. This Ishmael will not be your heir. My covenant that I've contracted with you will not transfer to him. Now listen, there was nothing wrong with Ishmael. God will, in fact, Abraham interceded and said, let Ishmael be before you. So he interceded. The guy was handsome. The guy was wonderful. And he pleaded for him and said, you are not set in stone. You can consider. But you see, the thing was that a fundamental principle was violated. Ishmael was a product of the will of man. Ishmael was a product of the flesh. And God cannot bless flesh. Even though he favored Abraham, he could not compromise his principles on that matter, because he will give a precedence that will legitimize the way of flesh. So he told him plainly, Ishmael will not be your heir. Abraham stayed in that condition until, you know, Sarah was barren. Sarah had entered menopause. Those are two terrible situations that is irreversible. And then God waited until Abraham's body died. And the desire to even meet a woman he was relieved of that desire. At that time, even he himself could not do anything about the matter. He was dead. His body was dead. That's when God now showed up. I said, you are out of options now, it's obvious. Even if you have an intention to make a child in the desert, the ability to do it is no longer with you. So that God can take glory, he waited for him to die before he showed up. What happened to Abraham was that he was rejuvenated. You know, have you read that scripture that says our days shall be 70 years, and by reason of strength, it can be 80, it can be 90, it can be 100, it can be 120. What's the meaning of by reason of strength? Okay, you have not thought about it. Let me allow you to think. Maybe for 1 year. Then when you have thought about it, by reason of strength. You have not thought about it, don't worry. But that's what played out in the life of Abraham. His body was dead. And then God, through his spirit, came and quickened his possibilities and quickened the womb of the woman that he married and broke the yoke of barrenness. And Abraham knew that it was not him. That guy was spoken about before he was conceived. He was a child of promise. God had uttered it. So that's the way of El Shaddai. He will speak about what he wants to do before he does it. If El Shaddai has not spoken anything to you, he is not under obligation to accomplish anything. So Isaac, in order for Isaac to come, their dead bodies had to be revived before that took place. It was not a product of the work of man. It was a product of the rejuvenating power of the Spirit of God. So there are a few things that we can glean from Abraham's life, which I want to put on the table before we close. One, the El Shaddai performs his counsels through his spirit. Then you put in bracket. So every believer is supposed to know the abilities of the Holy Ghost and trust him to perform it in their life. Two, the El Shaddai will never commission anything that has its roots in flesh. Will never commission. And that's why you need to check that it was God that led you. And God will never be angry that you are trying to verify a concept that you believed he was the one that spoke. Because his commitment is going to be consistent to the fact that he is the one that is behind that speaking. Give me strings, just quiet. Number three, when you are dealing with the El Shaddai, how long it will take is not in his hands, it's in your hands. Number four, the proof that you love God is obedience. The proof that you trust God is dependence. So you can trust God and not love God. And you can love God and not trust God. But in the El Shaddai, you will need to love and trust at the same time. Obedience is a proof of love. Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Dependence is a proof of trust. So the status of being perfect is the status of obedience and dependence. Boshalia mokeba kura selikosketo mahantali. Isko zezozo moko bresko felame. So I found out. There's a friend of mine. He called me, said he had a dream that he was wearing white and ministering in his church. And the power of God was so intense. He now told me that this Sunday is going to wear white. Now, you can't fulfill what God revealed to you. Did you know about that thing until God revealed? So I waited for him. When he finished the Sunday service, I called him. I said, the place was so dry. Even the drought was heartbreaking. Then I counseled him. You can't fulfill in the flesh what was revealed in the spirit. And the day that thing happened, I was there. The day the thing he told me happened, I was present. And he did not plan it, but he wore white. Can you allow the Holy Ghost to do his work in your life? Every manifestation of the flesh is what's going to prolong the set time that the Holy Spirit wants to walk in your life. He might come and say, okay, it's time for you. The proof that you trust me is that you bring 1,000 CDs this time. Obey him. This has nothing to do with the pastor. It has everything to do with you and God. When obedience is on the table, it means you love him. Obedience and trust are intertwined. When you can be foolish enough to obey him, even though it looks foolish to a natural person, then the El Shaddai, he will give you one of his breasts. In the life of Abraham, it was his activity that delivered them from the barrenness. I wish I had time to show you how he helped Isaac from famine and helped Jacob from poverty. By the time we are done with this meeting, 1 week after this meeting, the El Shaddai would have visited a few people in this assembly this morning. In the name of Jesus. Before I shut down, I'd like us to pray. So that I can pray for you. The first prayer is simple. Abraham initially edited God's original instruction, and that led to a waste of his time. The first thing you don't do when you are working with El Shaddai is to edit his instruction. When that happens, he will waste your time. Can we ask God, help me to be swift in obeying you and to be foolish enough to take you seriously when you speak to my heart. He said, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. can't hear you. Mescote cabrisco falamina supreketela skunta menia tala. Ambra mama curia, berosque somina canteli, labrocote masqueto brondo, coria, mazia, cumpela, mescote cabalato mise. Arababasico, Arabababasanto, Misaso selaid. Masketominala, Ruska silo, Escomina suselata, Racompela, Iscomeni, Amoco rosesila, Icombre, Suca batua, Ramesco petamina cadia, Suke balatua senti. Alla la 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 la. Iso seni ambros cafelito, meco brande, scuses ali, mahabaratus, that it will be easy for us to respond, easy for us to obey, that we will be stuck in our trust for you. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now, so that is not only you, let your people come. That's what I saw. So I just want to obey it, you know. They sang one song now, and it's just the chorus. We're going to learn it, then we'll sing it a few times. And as we're singing it, because, you know, the El Shaddai, if you obey him, that's when he becomes strong. As we begin to sing the song, then the heavens will begin to open. You see, and this thing I said now, that the heaven is going to open, is not dependent on that amen that you said. No. The El Shaddai told me that what will open the heavens is that song. So, you can just watch and see if it's true. So, they will teach us. You had it on screen the other time. The technical man has gone home.
In the fullness of your grace, in the power
technical man, if you have not
of
gone
your
home,
name, you lift me up. You lift me
for the technical man. Maybe he has gone home. And if he has gone home, let someone else. See, you have skill, but you don't know him. Remove that sound that you mixed with the strings. Oh my God. Oh, the harp. Okay. Stop. Stop all, please. Now, let's start with you. This is where he is. Do you understand? Anything that will we fight it. There's a texture. God has a texture. You want to access him? Mm-mm. Just play around his reading. You have so much skill. That's your deception. You don't know him. This thing is... No, if you know him more and less skill, you'll be more effective. Now, so this is the wordings of the song that she will be leading us to learn. I want you to sing it. Right? So she will give us the tune and then we will try to sing it a few times. Okay? So.
In the fullness.
You two, you are wrong. Don't put the mic on your mouth like that. Sing into it. Your voice is inside. You push it in. It will not sound husky. To sound like something, a fragrance. Now, if we can gather all the fragrance together, he will come. I know him. So I'm teaching you how to secure him. He's not far away in terms of distance. He's just in another dimension. On another frequency. So we'll trouble the waves until we see the strong frequency. And that's how it works. And anything that happens to your heart, maybe somebody quarreled with you before you came here. The first thing you need to do, if you want to tap God, tap into God, is to repent for that quarrel first. So that you can be able to sense the texture. Now follow my instruction, not what you want to do. Remove, touch strings, just strings. Very gentle one, very gentle. Pure one. Okay, that's what you will play on. Teach us now.
In the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me
that I saw. I saw a cherub. A cherub. And this cherub came over a lady that is present here. When this cherub came over that lady, some things like leaves were dropping on that lady. Well, let's find the lady first before we begin to say to her what God wants to tell her. Father, Thank you for this morning. Thank you for accepting our worship. And so I ask in the name of Jesus, this lady in this congregation, this lady in our midst, that you are, oh my. So if you bring her up, I may be able to tell her what the great one wants to do. You lift me up. You lift me up. And a scepter was given unto you. And the Lord said, heaven bore witness about your heart of service and your faithfulness. And I saw that in the next few months, you are going to have an encounter. And this encounter is going to pass unto you a scepter. The evidence that you have received this scepter is that many more people will be interested in listening to your voice. God is going to put something on your tongue. Something on your tongue that will give you the ability to reach the hearts of men. And people will begin to come. People will begin to come. And that influence will be occasioned by the gift that is in that scepter. You see, I should comfort you that your time has come. You lift me up, fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. With me and said that there is someone that in your family there is a lot of spiritual warfare, and you've been praying for the deliverance of your family for a long time, and even though you've been praying, you've not seen any positive results in the situations bedeviling your family. He said I should tell you that the reason why you have not seen results, even though you've been praying, is because your prayers are not meeting the target. You are praying amiss. Okay? So in order for him to help you so that your prayers will become accurate, he's going to give you a gift. This gift is a gift of discernment of spirit. It will operate. It will go into operation when you sleep. Then you begin to have discernment-inspired dreams. You'll be able to see the enemies, what they do, how they do it, so that you can pray effectively. And your prayers will become... See? So there's no need for me to continue. If you know how to texture your heart, God will no longer be far away. He'll be around you. This is your time. Amen. Oh, I saw a scepter. Sometimes when things are missing in the house, I do this thing. Create sound. And I know where it is. With this gift. Car key. Missing. Okay, no problem. You lift me up.
You lift me up. In the fullness of your grace. In the power of your name. You lift me up. You lift me up.
Something like a garment, like this. Like a garment. Then when I saw that which looked like a garment, I heard this scripture. If I may touch the hem of his garment. And the understanding that the Spirit of God gives me is that he wants to give someone in this auditorium this morning the gift of healing. That your life will become like that garment that a woman with the issue of blood had to make contact with in order for her to be made whole. And at the count of seven, the hand of God will rest upon that individual. And through your life, many will be delivered. Through your life, many will be healed. Through your life, transformations will take place. Through your life, things will change. Things will change because of your life. Things will change. Things will change. Bring her for me. So, all of you that were faithful in this rehearsal, when you sang this song, I'm coming for you. The flames of healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, these ones have labored. And I ask, oh God, that it might please you. It might please you to elevate them. That it might please you to bless them. That it might please you to increase them. In the name of Jesus, let it please you, Lord. Let it please you. Let it please you. In the name of Jesus, let it please you to look upon these ones with mercy. Okay, he's coming. Let it please you. Let it please you. Let it please you. In the name of Jesus, let it please you. Let it please you. So now that I've touched all of you, he will touch you now. Father, in the name of Jesus, let it please you. Let it please you. Let it please you. To promote these ones, to transform. To transform them. Let it please you to transform. And he comes stronger. He comes stronger. He comes stronger. Let it please you. Let it please you. Let it please you to bring about a change. In the name of Jesus, let it please you. Let it please you, Lord. Let it please you. Let it please you. Let it please you. Jesus, I ask, oh God, that you touch her eyes. And I bind every blinding spirit. Be bound in the name of Jesus. And come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. Yeah, so he wants to give some of you money. So shake me. Yes. One of you will have a testimony through this handshake. Yeah. One of you. I don't know which one, but. Lord, I just shook them. So I ask that you consolidate it. Consolidate it. Consolidate it. In the name of Jesus. Let there be a testimony. A financial testimony. A financial testimony. Okay, I'm even seeing that one of you is even giving you is giving one of you in the choir is giving you the gift of prophecy. Giving you the gift of prophecy. And there's a release. There's a release from heaven. And it's coming stronger. It's coming stronger on you. It's coming stronger on you. It's coming stronger on you. It's a gift of prophecy. 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 You will begin to move in prophecy. You begin to move in prophecy. God will begin to lay things upon your heart. You will begin to pick the frequencies of God. It's a gift of prophecy. So, okay. Let me bless you before I run away. Father, oh, kamosia makanto. Iso conteli scabo silia brate copetamina cobrecete siamo santoria amina scobre havalato asketomina kilamanto zeklupa tisco mahameno koto hikoskatamina kadia zekuta kuda makatala zekuta kusketamina zekuta kalito meskompalia isko pakatani mokotolia iso sesa ite makakone makadia escompali mahalekoske. Hey, one of you that came here, someone is contending with you. This week that we enter, that contention will be brought to an end because God has gone ahead. There are three people in this congregation that God wants you to begin to carry his presence around. When you go to a place and maybe there are installations of darkness, there will be a reaction. There will be a reaction. And the anointing is going to come on those three people. It will come from at the count of seven. One. To come on them. To come on them. Two. Three. When you move to a place where there are things of darkness, there'll be a reaction. 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 No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. No weapon, no weapon. It will not prosper. 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 I cut it off. In the name of Jesus, it will not prosper. No one can stand against you successfully. hand of God is upon you. Hand of God is upon you. And so, let grace be your portion. 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 In the name of Jesus, become stronger. Grace, grace on your life. Grace on your life. Grace on your life. Come stronger. Come stronger. Come stronger on you. In the name of Jesus. Be blessed with grace. Be blessed with grace. Now, for 2 weeks, this anointing will remain on you. For three of you. Three of you. Three of you. For 2 weeks, it will be flowing on your life. It will be flowing. Now, I'm looking for one person here. Lord, help me find that person. Help me find that individual. Help me find that person here. Help me find that person. Let your hand be strong. Okay, bring him. Bring him. Stagnation is about to leave your life. Stagnation. Stagnation. You will be amazed where you will be in 12 months from today. In 12 months from today. And bless you.
Your name, you lift me up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So, I want us to just lift Papa and his ministry and the team before the Lord. Papa has been in town for 2 solid weeks now. Morning and evening services. And because of the love he has for us, he decided to fellowship with us today. It's a very great opportunity for us. We just want to lift up prayer for him. Say, Lord, strengthen your sent man and the team. Preserve them. Deliver them from wicked and unreasonable men. Increase the power. Increase the influence. Secure his borders. Come on, lift up your voice. Oh my God, we pray for your grace, your mercy to abound more and more. Lord, let the Spirit flow more and more. Let the influence be increased. Deliver our Father and his team from wicked and unreasonable men. Let them be exposed. Oh God, we thank you for such a grace. We thank you for such manifestation that you have granted unto our Father, and we have been beneficiaries of it. Thank you, Father. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, we can take our seat. Papa, we want to say that we love you. Tessano Goshen, love you so, so much. And we love your ministry. We love your person. We love everything about you. One of these days, you will see us. We'll pass ourselves and come to Makodi. Amen. Amen. For the sake of time, we will want to release Papa. So, Pastor Kofi, please help Papa to and the team to the church office. Thank you. Thank you. Let's celebrate Papa. Let's celebrate him. Let's celebrate him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so